Never compute
the boundless ineffable nature of the love of God, the gift of His Son, to die at Calvary for the sins of all His people. And so, as I have said, love is always manifesting itself. Very sweet, sacred, powerful, blessed, efficacious it is. And how is this applicable in the case of our apostle? Well, you just, if you can visualize this great and good and dear man of God, a prisoner in Rome, he was happy. He was not miserable. He was not dejected. For you will notice in the opening part of this epistle there is a peal of joy. Why was he happy? Because the Lord was with him. And because, as he writes in his epistle to the Romans, that monumental scripture, and we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. He was happy. Now this touches the preacher, and I hope it will touch you. Church of Philippi did something. They sent their pastor, Epaphroditus, to Rome to see the great apostle and to take him a present or a gift, to supply him with those things that they felt were necessary. And so in all their love, they sent their pastor with this beautiful gift to their father in God, the Apostle Paul. And he says, he speaks about it. He says, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, the sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And then he goes on to say, and if I paraphrase it, it was as though he said, now, I cannot send you. I have no ability to send you a gift. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That is the setting of the Holy Sunday. And so, receiving the love, this gift from the church at Philippi through their master, he then proceeded to write this epistle to them. And so really, it is love, it is all love. There's no discord, there's no malice, there's no work of Satan. It is the work of the Spirit, it is the pure love of God in the Apostle and in this church. And they were unique in many ways, because he says here in the early part of his epistle, I thank my God, upon every remembrance of you. Now what a word for a pastor to be able to say about a church and about the members of a church. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, whenever I think of you. Always, in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy. What I would like to say at this day is this. The Lord give us grace so that we may pray, that we may emulate this beautiful example, the union and the oneness between the Apostle Paul and the Church at Philippi and the Epaphroditus. How beautiful that is. I feel in the first part of the discourse that it will be wise for me to deal with some of the basics. That is why I read the lesson where I did. The apostle knew how he was led to them. Though we read that they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, the door was shut. If the Lord shuts a door, it is always obvious that he intends to open another door. And they assayed, that is, they made trial to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Now, what did the Lord intend to reveal to the apostle and to Timothy? They did not have to wait very long. And let us emphasize and underline at this stage the importance of a right and good beginning to everything. If a thing begins well, has a good foundation, and the Lord will be with you. Of this I believe concerning our brother and this flock. A right and good and blessed, God attested beginning to his pastor. Well, the Lord soon made known his divine will. He was in the nocturnal hours. I wonder if you receive anything from the Lord in those nocturnal hours. The hours when everything is hushed around you. When darkness envelops the earth or this earth. Now in the night, something amazing took place. A vision. A vision is something supernatural and divine. It is something that comes directly from heaven into one's soul. Mortal powers are suspended whilst the sacred powers of a ransomed soul are activated to receive the communication from God. And in this vision that appeared, there stood a man. He could see this man, a man of Macedonia. And he said something and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now that was a specific word from the Lord to the apostle and Timothy, his companion. There's no ambiguity about it. Nothing uncertain, nothing vague. Precisely, definitely, there was this word from God for the apostle and Timotheus to come over into Macedonia and help. I pause to ask you people gathered here today, you dear people, does the Lord speak to you? Does he grant you the blessing of divine revelation? Do you ever see a vision? Is anything presented to your ransomed soul by God concerning matters maybe affecting the church, maybe affecting a dear family, or your future, your movements, the will of God concerning you? And it is revealed, Lord, there is this vision. I hope that I am speaking very prudently when I suggest to your minds here this afternoon on the pastor's third anniversary that he revealed what is before us today to his dear father. I don't know when, but I am positive and certain that he revealed this to dear Mr. Reuben Mercer, perhaps for a number of years before he died. Maybe some of you, his dear widow and the family, know the secret, but I believe the Lord revealed it to him. Now, what has the Lord revealed to you? But you will find that in these revelations and visions, that it is a two-way system. The Lord also revealed it to our brother. He saw this vision concerning his future and following his beloved father. I'm going to pause again. What about you lady friends, you sisters? Do you get anything from God? Does he speak to you? Can you speak of visions and revelations of the Lord? How wonderful it is when the Lord makes clear his divine purposes and holy will concern us. The preacher knew this from, I suppose, boyhood, concerning the dead. Something that is inexplicable. It is something that was in my heart concerning the ministry and the beloved Church of God. Now, what has the Lord shown you? Have you any secret? Any vision concerning the future or concerning your movements? The will of God revealed to you by revelation or vision. So, the Apostle Paul and Timotheus, his companion, they knew well what the will of God was concerning them. And I admire the terminology that follows. After they have seen the vision, immediately we endeavor to go into Macedonia. Then in the next verse, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course, no diversions, nothing devious. a straight course, the same as Gracia and the next day in the Apollos, and from thence to Philippi. Now, how did they know what to do when they reached Philippi? Chief city of Macedonia and the colony. The Lord had called them to preach the gospel in a certain spot. They come to this city now. Where are they to exercise their ministry? Where are these people that the Lord is sending them to? And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city. You may think of sailors. You may think of men who rely on a compass. Now, my friends, the compass of the child of God is the Word of God. You've got your compass. You go by that compass. You act according to the information that you read in that compass. And so, by divine intuition and according to the compass of the Word of God, on the Sabbath day they go out of the city, and it is very fitting, by riverside. The river flows in the Word of God. The river flows in the Church of God. Oh, this river, the river of the water of life. How largely water figures in the Bible. Oh, this, you have wells of living water, spring water, rivers. Think of what happened at the Jordan. Now, dear Savior was baptized by John Baptist. Think of the river. Do you know the river? There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Go aside for a moment. You will know that in the earliest days of mankind on this planet, they always had a priority. And what was it? Water. And so, in those early days of man, he always went and found water. Then he pitched his tent. There he settled, because water is essential to life. You can very quickly visualize London going up around the Thames and so on. It's always known as water. Now then, God's glorious gospel of his grace is living water, the water of life. And where that water is, thirsty souls will find it and settle. And the ministry of the Spirit, a God-given pastor, there are living waters that flow through that ministry. And there people are gathered. And there they settle. And there they live. Cause of the water of life that flows. You must have water. Oh, the wonder of this water. To give you eternal life, to cleanse your guilty soul, to refresh you, to revive you, to cause you to grow and flourish. Living water, not stagnant. Not cistern water, that living water that flows from the fountainhead, the Lord Jesus, into his church. And I wonder why the chapel was built here, and another one up the road. Why? And why have they been maintained? Only for one reason, and that is living waters flow. If there's no water of life, then thirsty souls are never born. They cannot be. But where there is this living water flowing, there the thirsty sinner is found. If I just change slightly the metaphor of bread, I would like just to reiterate something that Minister Frank Gosden said, the late dear man of God. His father was a man of tremendous business acumen and expertise. He knew him. And he intended to set up his son in business. And an arrangement was made for them to visit this prosperous business in the countryside somewhere, I don't know where it was. And the owner brought out his books. They were the rules. And it was a wonderful business. Mr. Frank took a walk, quiet walk around the garden, and presently came into the house in conference with his father and the owner. And he made this observation. He said, "I see by my observation, which is factual, that here there is plenty of the bread that perishes. But where is the bread of life?" Apparently there was no cause of proof nearby where his soul could be nourished. He said, "Where's the bread of life?" Now I might put that to you this afternoon. Although most of the friends are, of course, elderly. But where are you? Are you where there is this living water, these springs that flow from beneath the throne of God, from God himself, living water? Now there you can settle, and there you can spend your days, and as the living water flows, end your days. And then you'll go to the fountain source of life. Now, do you understand this? Are you in the very place where you receive living water? Now, I can never understand people who profess to fear God, and they walk things of this life before the things of God, thirsting, and God will honor you. And if you're a younger person, let me say this to you, God will honor you. If you put this thirst, these springs of living water, the Lord will appear for you in providence. If you say, "That is my home, there is the living well, there are the springs of living water, there is the river of the water of life. This water flows in the ministry. My soul is refreshed and cheered and grows thereby." Now that's your home. Now if you put that thirst, and I have that witness that there are those here who put that thirst. Now, in these days of unemployment and redundancies and so on, many of the Lord's people come into a heavy trial. But if you put those springs of living water first and say, that is my spiritual home, that's where my soul is, supplied and cheered and refreshed, God will open the door for you providentially. I will give a prophetic word this day. You'll see God in a signal manner to his own glory open for you a door in divine providence, and that will be sweet. Do you know why? Because you'll have the smile of God in your soul that you put in first. Now, I cannot understand those who profess godliness, but we go somewhere where there's no bread of life, no water of life. Now, of course, I suppose even if you think of a holiday, it will be refreshing to you if you can think that you're going somewhere where there's living water. But I'm afraid these are a slack day, generally speaking. But if only you can go somewhere where there's living water. This is the first thing. How can I be happy? How can I really enjoy a few days unless there's a little living water? So, on the Sabbath, they went out of the great city, Philippi, by a riverside. Very vivid. The analogy of faith is wonderful. By a riverside. I shall stay here for a few moments. I had not anticipated this. I suppose many of you, when you have an opportunity, take advantage of it to quietly walk by a river. If you can walk by the Thames at Windsor or wherever it may be, I suppose sometimes you quietly walk by a river. And it's amazing the lessons of the teaching that you receive as you walk by a river. It gently flows. And if the Lord gives you sweet meditation, peace will flow into your soul. You look at those pure waters and you think, my sins I have washed away in that precious fountain of purgation. There's life in the water, there's life on the banks, there's a feeling of tranquility and peace. There is something ethereal about it. You're right away from all the confusion and chaos of this world. Now, how fitting, a riverside. And they went out of the city by a riverside. But you know this in Britain. Not that I know the whole land well by any means, but you look in Britain, where the living water flows, the people there, there's a congregation. Bound to be a congregation where the living water flows. Their souls receive the water of life. If they're refreshed and cheered from that living water, they're there. That's the secret. Stagnant water. Oh, no life. Maybe something academic. I'm not speaking against that in itself. But if it's only that, stagnant water. Now there's nothing for a thirsty soul. Friends, are you thirsty this afternoon? Can you say, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God? When shall I come and appear before God? If you come up to the house of God with this thirst for Him, you'll know what it is sometimes to have full draughts of His everlasting love. It's heavenly, isn't it? So the river flows. I take it then and believe there's a spring here. Now the spring gushes forth in this pulpit and from this blessed book and in the holy ordinance of the ministry of the gospel of redemption. It flows. Now this is soul of the God. So they went by a riverside, and prayer was one to be made there. Now this was the place. They were in the place that God had divinely appointed for them. And the dear ones there were receiving the very minister or ministers that God had appointed for them. Do you see how wonderful this is? The reciprocity God had appointed for these dear ones in their prayers. He had appointed to the Apostle Paul and Timotheus, and they're there. God has brought them there. And for the apostle and his companion, Timothy, the Lord appointed that they should go to this very spot to exercise their ministry by the Holy Ghost. So you can see what I'm on, really, the basic things, the vital thing. We may summarize it in this way. We could say, as we see the Apostle Paul and Timotheus there with this little company by the riverside, we could say, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. God has done it. Man has had no hand in it. It is entirely and exclusively the work of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is how I present to you the case before us today with our brother in his settlement here. See, the beginning is right, the basics are right, the smile of God is on it. But just a little word further. They sat down. You don't sit down everywhere, do you? You can't sit down. That means they were at rest. They were sitting down because they were where God had brought them to. They sat down because they were at home. You see, they sat down. They were one in spirit in the Lord Jesus. And so they sat down. Beautiful thing that is to sit down. Oh, feel, and especially if you can sit down, because that is the meaning of it. In all the fullness and consummation of it, it is to sit down at His feet, the feet of Christ. Now, how many of you said, my willing soul would stay? Have you said this when you've gone out of the sanctuary or before you went out? My willing soul would stay, in such a phrase as this, and sit and sing herself away to everlasting bliss. I take it that there are times when you are highly favored. simply last met for this pastor's anniversary in the Station Road Chapel. Now then, in that 12 months, I would hope you have been greatly blessed a few times. Have you? Have you ever felt in that 12 months, once or more, that you would go straight ahead? Have you felt that the house of God was an annex to heaven? That you were very near the threshold, and with the sweet assurance of your interest in him, I take it you have been rightly blessed. I should feel very sad if you said, oh, I'm so destitute all the time. There must be a reason for it. There's a cause. Oh, if you have to say every time, oh, how destitute I am, I should feel very sad. Because there must be some basic cause for this destitution. It's not on God's part. If you're a child of God, it's not on his part. It's on your part. You've either grieved the Spirit of God or there's something between you and your God. And you'll have to cry and ask God to show you what it is. And ask him if he will kindly forgive you and remove it, so that the gospel may flow freely without any obstruction to hinder into your soul. So by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, for they were. Now can you understand what happened? We sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there. Why, the Apostle Paul's soul was like a bottle that needed vent. He was full of this. He had come to them in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Oh, this liberty, this sacred liberty, this unction, this power divine, this delight in preaching the gospel. Time is short. We must, by the grace of God, hasten to preach the gospel to our last breath. For I hope we should be able to preach the gospel right at the very end. It's so glorious and wonderful, and souls are so blessed under it, and many fall. That is called by grace effectual, so they strike to. Now, can you understand now what he says in this text? Because I have you in my heart. This is the heart. The collection is taken for the esteemed pastor.
Thank you. Amen.